This is Free Thought Radio with co-hosts Dan Barker and Annie Laurie Gaylor. Irreverent views, news, music, and interviews.
Imagine there's no heaven.
Of course, I'm not Klaatu, just a sister earthling. I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor, adrift on the same star as you, as Free Thought songwriter Yip Harburg would put it. And I'd like to welcome you to Free Thought Radio.
And I'm Dan Barker, your friendly neighborhood atheist of the airwaves. We usually stand when we do our show, but Annie Laurie is sitting today because she sprained her ankle last week. The good Lord was not looking out for her.
Needless to say. Who's not looking out for anyone.
and my saying this week that I just coined is that the pain, it's plain, stays mainly in the sprain. And she's had a lot of pain this week, but she's getting better. Thanks to all of you for not praying. Free Thought Radio is produced by the Freedom From Religion Foundation. We are the nation's largest association of atheists and agnostics. We like to call ourselves freethinkers, a positive word. And we are a watchdog organization preserving the constitutional wall of separation between church and state. This is the weekend of February 25 and 26, 2012. So this is our leap year 2012 production. You know, I think if there were any evidence of intelligent design, it would be if the year was an exact number of days. If there were exactly 360 days a year with no leap years, no leap centuries, wouldn't that be an amazing?
Well, I think that I would call that just a coincidence, actually.
Yeah, but to be an exact every year and never wobble. But the fact that it is not exact shows that there's some lack of intelligent design, at least in our calendar making. This show is broadcasting in Madison, Wisconsin. And a shout out to you listeners in Grand Rapids, and in Monterey, and where else are people listening? And people are listening to the podcast all over the world. We always love to hear from those of you who are listening in other countries.
And we're very pleased to announce that today's guest will be journalist Catherine Stewart, author of an important new book just out this year called The Good News Club, The Christian Right's Stealth Assault on America's Children. Excuse me. She'll join Free Thought Radio at about the half-hour mark to talk about her investigations into the missionary predations being made now upon pupils in our public schools, thanks to some, very poor Supreme Court decisions. And she's going to tell you why some of the Good News Club missionaries want to destroy our secular public schools and cause religious divisiveness.
Our staff attorneys are dealing daily with problems caused by groups like this, groups like the Good News Clubs, and some of them have other name. One of them's called Frog, something religion and God. And they consider the public schools to be their own personal mission fields. So Catherine Stewart has written a book, a very powerful investigative book that everyone should read.
Now, the good news for the week, it actually came down a week ago Friday. I'm sure you've heard the good news. We've all been following with great concern the situation involving 16-year-old Jessica Alquist, the high school student who filed a federal lawsuit against a prayer banner in her high school in Cranston, Rhode Island. And we've had her on our show
a couple of times, and it's been a suspenseful wait since the federal decision ruling on January 11th in her favor, and the school committee taking its time to decide whether or not it will appeal. And the very good news is that the prayer banner will come down. The pressure is off Jessica, who, by the way, was twice named the Freedom From Religion Foundation's Thomas Jefferson Student Activist recipient, and she was the first recipient of a $10,000 Atheist in Foxhole support fund created for atheists and freethinkers who find themselves in the crossfire while standing up for the First Amendment.
We thought it would be fun to play coverage from a Rhode Island television station, I think it's Providence, right from the night of that vote, February 16th.
Begin with breaking news out of Cranston, where we've learned the school committee has decided not to appeal a court decision ordering the removal of a prayer banner at Cranston West.
The vote came down just moments ago after 3 hours of public hearings. Let's get right to Eyewitness News reporter Steve Nielsen, live outside of Cranston East, where the meeting had to be held because of the large crowd.
Well, the school committee's vote was immediately met with cheers and also boos. Many people were upset. They're also very happy. It was definitely the end of a very long and heated debate. Before the school committee meeting even began, many in the crowd wearing appeal signs saying, God bless America. And they recited the pledge.
Majority of the residents of Cranston want you to appeal. I also...
The concept of God is not one on which we can all agree and has been the subject of much lively debate.
All this after a judge ruled and ordered the school to take down a prayer banner in Cranston West. Student Jessica Alquist joined with the ACLU to have the mural removed. Police looked over the filled theater, which seats over 700. Many spoke, wanting the committee to appeal the judge's decision.
The counter is the ACLU.
The crowd was urged to be quiet multiple times. The committee's attorney, Joe Cavanaugh, says if they lose the appeal, it could cost $500,000.
I urge our school committee to not take more from this school budget.
That a mural with words on it, and most would agree, could never hurt anyone.
It's a divisive battle that the superintendent says the whole world is watching. The vote was 5-2 to not appeal. Now, I did talk to some of the committee members directly after the vote. They said this really just came down to dollars and cents. I also spoke with Jessica Alquist, and she said she's happy with the committee's decision. Reporting live in Cranston with the West Bay Mobile Newsroom, I'm Steve Nielsen, Eyewitness News.
So among those people in the audience was Ellery Shemp, who we had on our show recently and will be speaking at the March 23rd pre-Reason Rally dinner party that FFRF is putting on in Washington, D.C. And the next day, Barbara Ehrenreich will be speaking and getting an Emperor Has No Clothes Award. So be sure to sign up now for those dinner parties, the hotel rooms while they last. Go to FFRF.org/outreach/Reason Rally. And we've of course invited Jessica to come and be there too, and she's been too busy to get back to us, but we hope to see her. She'll be speaking at the Reason Rally.
Did Ellery testify at that school board hearing?
He did testify, and he sent very eloquent testimony. He emailed me. So
because he was a high school student himself years ago, making a similar complaint. So, and also, if you see the TV coverage, Jessica sitting in the back, smiling and relaxed while all these goings on are going on.
It's amazing.
She was the victor. Now, in other national news, the Freedom From Religion Foundation has uncovered the religious underpinnings of an infamous bill in Virginia that makes women who want abortions undergo a procedure that is tantamount to forcible rape and torture. FFRF's constitutional consultant, Andrew Seidel, discovered that the Virginia delegate, Kathy Byron, has ties...
The delegate who introduced and sponsored this bill.
She has ties to Liberty University. She is a member of the Thomas Road Baptist Church, which was started by Falwell. She proposed a bill honoring Falwell, which passed, and she's managed to get $12 million in state funding to open up a medical school at Liberty University. One of the deans called it, the medical school, a great ministry opportunity.
Yeah, with $12 million of tax dollars, it will be. And just to say a couple more words about this, it is very common to have a regular ultrasound, either before an abortion or to detect pregnancy. But this is a transvaginal internal ultrasound that goes on for at least 10 minutes. And most women dread it. It's to force women to undergo this procedure because they want an abortion would be punishment and, violate the right to privacy. And it's a barbaric proposal. As we are recording this show on Tuesday, we expect it to pass the other house. We expect the governor to sign it into law. And it's an outrage that religious fanatics are going this far to try to punish women who want abortions.
Now, in other news, we just have to play Rick Santorum's remarks, the presidential candidate seeking the nomination. About a week ago Saturday, he made some remarks about President Obama, about his energy and environment policy, and about exactly what Obama's real agenda is.
It's not about you. It's not about you. It's not about your quality of life. It's not about your jobs. It's about some phony ideal, some phony theology. Oh, not a theology based on the Bible, different theology.
You know, talk about religious crusade. I mean, Obama is an avowed Christian, but I guess you have to be a Catholic or, you know, in order to be president, you have to subscribe to the Bible.
You have
what
to be the
to
right
say.
Kind of Christian.
And so to his credit, Bob Schaefer on last Sunday's Face the Nation did question Santorum about this remarks. Of course, he's backpedaling, and this is what Santorum said.
This is not questioning the president's beliefs in Christianity. I'm talking about, you know, the belief that man should be in charge of the earth and should have dominion over it and should be good stewards of it.
Of course, he did use the word theology and connected it to the Bible, so he is questioning Obama's faith to some degree. Talk about religious divisiveness in politics. And at the state level here in Wisconsin, we continue to have a big fight in Green Bay over the sectarian prayers to Jesus by the Brown County Board. And here's Action News 2 out of Green Bay.
Dear Lord, thank you for bringing us here safely together this evening.
Before every monthly Brown County Board meeting, board officials are led in a prayer asking for guidance during the meeting. But the Freedom from Religion Foundation in Madison wants the prayers to stop.
Because government is not supposed to take sides on religion. Government is not supposed to engage in worship.
The group is lobbying for the board to get rid of the prayer, arguing that it discriminates against people of different religious beliefs.
15% of Wisconsin citizens are not religious. And then a higher number are not Christian. So we have both people of other faiths and non-believers offended and excluded.
But board members say the prayer that typically ends in Jesus' name, amen, hasn't received any complaints from people in Brown County, and they want it to stay.
It doesn't offend 85% of the population. We're worried about 15% that are offended. In my mind, majority rules.
Board Chairman Guy Zima says that the board won't be modifying or eliminating the pre-meeting prayer anytime soon.
You know, we've had a prayer as long as I've been here and both the city council and the county board, 36 years now, and I don't think we're going to turn it around tonight just because somebody wants to impose their religion, kind of a non-religion, on everybody else.
Kate Raddatz, Action 2 News, Green Bay.
Well, we know that the county board has gotten complaints because we don't act unless we get complaints. We got complaints from our members, and 36 years is a long time to violate the law. The Supreme Court's Marsh ruling came out in 1983 saying government bodies couldn't pray at constituents or engage in sectarian prayer, and that's what they're doing in Brown County.
And did you hear what the vice chair said, Mary Scray? 15% and nothing to worry about. We have majority rule in this country, which is exactly not true, is why we have the First Amendment. Okay, coming up after the break, Annie Laurie is going to tell us why it's time to exit en masse. It's her appeal to liberal Catholics to quit the Catholic Church.
And then we'll learn about the inroads that religious missionaries unfortunately are making in our public schools and why it's time to take alarm. Talking with journalist and author Catherine Stewart.
As Mark Twain said, faith is believing what you know ain't so. This is Free Thought Radio.
And I'm Dan Barker.
I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor, and we are co-directors of the Freedom From Religion Foundation, a 501c3 educational charity with a $40 individual membership, $50 household, and includes 10 issues a year of Free Thought Today, our newspaper, 24-pager. We hope today you'll join us at FFRF.org.
And Annie Laurie is going to read a statement now. She issued a statement on February the 20th, an open letter to liberal and nominal Roman Catholics.
Dear liberal Catholic, it's time to quit the Roman Catholic Church. It's your moment of truth. Will it be reproductive freedom or back to the Dark Ages? Do you choose women and their rights or bishops and their wrongs. Whose side are you on anyway? It's time to make known your dissent from the Catholic Church in light of the U.S. Catholic Conference of Bishops' ruthless campaign endangering the right to contraception. If you're part of the Catholic Church, you're part of the problem. Why are you propping up the pillars of a tyrannical and autocratic, woman-hating, sex-perverting, antediluvian old boys' club? Why are you aiding and abetting a church that has repeatedly and publicly announced a crusade to ban contraception, abortion, and sterilization, and to deny the right of all women everywhere, Catholic or not, to decide whether and when to become mothers? When it comes to reproductive freedom, the Roman Catholic Church is public enemy number one. Think of the acute misery, poverty, needless suffering, unwanted pregnancies, social evils, and deaths that can be laid directly at the door of the Church's antiquated doctrine that birth control is a sin and must be outlawed. A backer of the Roman Catholic presidential candidate says that if women want to avoid pregnancy, we should put an aspirin between our knees. Catholic politicians are urging that the right to contraception should be left up to states. Nearly 50 years after the Supreme Court upheld contraception as a privacy right, we're going to have to defend this basic freedom all over again? You're better than your church, so why stay? No self-respecting feminist, civil libertarian, or progressive should cling to the Catholic faith. As a cafeteria Catholic, you chuck out the stale doctrine and moldy decrees of your religion, but keep patronizing the establishment that menaces public health by serving rotten offerings. Your continuing Catholic membership as a liberal casts a veneer of respectability upon an irrational sect determined to blow out the Enlightenment and threaten liberty for women worldwide. You are an enabler, and it's got to stop. If you can imagine that you can change the church from within, get it to lighten up on birth control, gay rights, marriage equality, embryonic stem cell research, you're deluding yourself. If you remain a good Catholic, you are doing bad to women's rights. You're kidding yourself if you think the church is ever going to add a doctrine of immaculate contraception. It's disgraceful that U.S. healthcare reform is being held hostage to the Catholic Church's bizarre opposition to medically prescribed contraception. No politician should jeopardize electability for failure to genuflect before the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops. Question to ask your bishop: does he hold up an umbrella against the rain? Isn't that just as unnatural as using a condom or diaphragm? Your church hysterically claims that secular medical policy is an assault against religious liberty. You are savvy enough to realize that the real assault is by the church against women's rights and health care. Obama has compromised, but the church never budges, instead launching a vengeful modern-day inquisition. The church that hasn't persuaded you to oppose contraception now wants to use the force of secular law to deny contraceptive rights to non-Catholics. Join those of us who put humanity above dogma. As a member of the flock of an avowedly anti-democratic club, isn't it time you vote with your feet? Please exit en masse.
And that's Annie Laurie Gaylor reading her February 20th statement, "It's Time to Quit the Catholic Church," an open letter to liberal and nominal Roman Catholics. You can find that statement online at our webpage, ffrf.org.
And actually, I gave you an excerpt so you can find a little bit more.
Find all of it.
Go into the why this isn't assault against religious liberty.
And why send your kids to parochial schools.
Yep, and do the Amish say it's an assault on religious liberty because we drive cars? Shouldn't we all be driving buggies? Yeah.
So you can find the statement. Go to ffrf.org/news/releases. It's up on our news releases.
And you can follow us on Twitter. What is our hashtag?
I don't remember. Slash.
FFRF.
Well, you can look for us.
And you can follow me on Twitter, Annie Laurie Gaylor. And you can follow Dan.
And on Facebook.
On Facebook, FFRF Facebook. And there's been an awful lot going on in the news. We have issued action alerts, news releases, ways for you to get involved, to influence public opinion, to make sure that the views of those of us who are non-religious are heard in the marketplace of ideas. we can speak with, we can flex our muscles together and speak with a more powerful voice.
Because this land belongs to all of us, doesn't it? Not just to religious people. So also our legal staff is busy fielding complaints in public schools over the so-called good news clubs, which for many of us is bad news, that we are all sinners and damned to hell if you don't follow their doctrine. And other groups, there's one called Frog, and then flyers being brought home and all that. We're going to talk with the author of a brand new book, an investigative journalism. Her name is Catherine Stewart. Stay tuned after the break. We'll talk with Catherine Stewart about her book, The Good News Club, The Christian Right's Stealth Assault on America's Children. I'm Dan Barker with Annie Laurie Gaylor. Stay tuned for more Free Thought Radio.
Beware of dogma. This is Free Thought Radio.
I'm Dan Barker.
I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor, and as Dan has said, the legal staff of the Freedom From Religion Foundation deals every day with violations in the public schools and the increasingly predatory and aggressive missionaries who are eyeing our public schools. And remember what a bad day it was when the Supreme Court issued its Good News Club ruling. And we have with us someone who has written a whole book about that ruling and its ramifications.
It's a brand new book, just came out this year by Public Affairs. It's called The Good News Club, The Christian Right's Stealth Assault on America's Children. It's written by journalist Catherine Stewart. She has written for Newsweek International. She's written for Marie Claire. She's written for The Times of London. Her work has appeared in The New York Times, The Village Voice, Rolling Stone, many other publications. She's written two novels, and she co-authored Rent by Jonathan Larson. That's a book about the musical Rent. She and her family just moved from Santa Barbara, California, to New York City. Welcome to Free Thought Radio, Catherine.
Nice to be here.
I was telling you just before the show that I grabbed this book first because all of our legal staff wanted to read it. They're dealing with these issues all the time, especially with Good News Clubs and other, you know, Athletes in Action and Fellowship of Christian Athletes and all these. There's a group called Frog for some reason. But what prompted you to get interested in a book about the Good News Club?
Well, I got interested in the Good News Club when I heard about a Good News Club coming to my children's public school in Santa Barbara, California. And I heard that it was a Bible study from a non-denominational standpoint. And my first thought was, great, you know, I love Good News, some nice little Bible study club. They'll teach kids to be, you know, nice to their neighbors. And I, you know, let me make clear, I'm a strong supporter of free speech, and I'm also comfortable with the idea of teaching the Bible in public school from a non-sectarian perspective as literature, history, or anthropology. But then I started hearing stories from parents around town whose kids went to Good News schools where Good News clubs had recently been established, and I started to become concerned that Good News clubs were less concerned with teaching about the Bible than with turning kids into faith-based bullies. I started hearing about kids who were starting to get targeted on the playground and bullied by their peers because they belonged to either a minority faith or their parents were non-theists, and their schoolmates were kind of targeting them for really faith-based bullying. I was quite concerned about this. I realized that, you know, I don't have a problem with children talking about their religion at school, having religious discussions, you know, but what I do have a problem with is those kids believing that their particular beliefs were coming from the school. And the kids who were doing the proselytizing and the faith-based bullying believed that their beliefs were being endorsed by the school because they'd say, you know, you're going to go to hell because you don't believe in Jesus, and I know it's true because I learned it in school. And it became obvious to me that the purpose of the Good News Club is to deceive children into believing that a particular religious creed is sanctioned by and has the support of their public school. I mean, look, we're talking about little kids here. If it takes place in school for them, it must be true. Kids, you know, no institution has as much authority in the minds of children as the public school. They can't distinguish what takes place in a school and what is endorsed by the school.
Now, can you give us a typical scenario? You know, you've got a chapter, the Good News Club comes to town. What happens?
Well, that chapter took place in Seattle, and I found this kind of story being played out in community after community all across the country. It happened in our community in Santa Barbara. The Good News Club shows up in a neighborhood, and it seems like, you know, these sort of nice people who are teaching it, oh, we just want to, you know, teach kids about the Bible and, you know, teach kids about the public, you know, teach kids about religion in the public schools. And it turns out that when one sectarian group tries to take over the public resources for their own, you know, particular benefit, for the propagation of their particular religious sect, it's incredibly divisive. And it just blew, in Seattle, it blew the community wide apart.
The Loyal Heights Elementary School.
The Loyal Heights Elementary School. You know, a lot of the most of the people objecting to the presence of the club were themselves Christians. They just didn't happen to me to be, you know, on the conservative end of the evangelical spectrum. And they really felt that this was an inappropriate mixing of, you know, school and church. And they started to see that kids who are not, you know, members of this particular club are getting, you know, targeted by kids who are. And parents started sort of flaming each other across theological lines. Friendships were ruptured. Kids stopped getting invited to each other's birthday parties. But, you know, much more important than the harm to any individual kids or any individual families was the harm to the school itself. The community, which had once sort of gathered together in support of their children, in support of their common future, in spite of their differences, was all of a sudden fractured by sectarian differences. And even worse, the school teachers and administrators found themselves spending, you know, hours and hours devoted to kind of trying to moderate this needless religious war that had been inserted into their community. I realized that, you know, it would be nice to believe that the harm to the school is just an accidental byproduct of organizations like the Good News Club. But when you dig a little deeper and you look at their leadership and what they say about the institution of public education, you realize that that harm to the institution of public education is actually one of the intended effects.
You wrote that some of the parents stopped volunteering. They stopped showing up. They got so disgusted with what was going on.
It's true. Some parents said, you know, we don't donate money to the PTA anymore. We donate our money to this Americans United for Separation of Church and State. Uh-huh. And it makes people feel, look, public schools are community centers. They're the heart of every community. It's where we all sort of gather together, you know, in hopes of creating a better future for our kids. And when you turn, you know, public schools into religious battlegrounds, that just harms that sort of the community building, you know.
Our message that religion in schools is innately divisive. It builds walls between children.
It does. It does. And, you know, it's interesting. You know, I have a friend who's one of the co-writers on a book called The Handbook of Religious Denominations, and told me that, you know, there are over 1,000 denominations of Christianity alone. It's like, and then we have every other religion in this country and all forms of non-theism as well.
I was surprised when you tried to join the club. You know, this is really a good work of investigative journalism. You went the whole nine yards. You even went to their national conference. I was surprised at some of the standards or requirements for working with the Good News Club. I didn't realize that they were so anti-Pentecostalism, for example. You can't believe in speaking in tongues. You can't have that deviant form of Christianity. They're very kind of narrow, conservative, no tobacco, no drink, that kind of a thing, right?
They're very specific. You know, if you look at their statement of faith, it's the most, it's like 15-point statement of faith that's incredibly specific. But, you know, there are many different forms of, you know, the sort of evangelical faith that are inserting programs into the public schools. And, you know, some of them are more, you know, there's some differences. Like, for instance, my children's public school in New York City now has been turning every weekend into a church. that doesn't pay rent and that is a member of an organization called the New Apostolic Reformation. It's a kind of a form of Christianity. It's sort of in the Pentecostal vein or charismatic vein of Christianity.
And didn't
where
you say
they do speak in tongues?
Didn't you say they were praying over your daughter's picture on the wall or something?
They were praying over the pictures of the kids on the wall. The pastor was telling the parishioners to do that, pray over their names and their pictures.
What invasion of privacy! Now, aren't they being kicked out by the Bronx decision in Bloomberg?
There's still some legislation pending in Albany, so it's just unclear what's going to happen.
Well,
with that.
That was such a good decision. It was such a little oasis in the desert legally because that court, it was at the Third Circuit Court of Appeals, right, said that it's one thing to have religious groups renting off hours for their club, but it's another thing to have worship in the schools because kids can't tell the difference between private and endorsed worship, and it's an affront to taxpayers to have worship going on in their public-funded schools. So.
Well, it's a freebie from the state, and we have this thing called the Establishment Clause, which is interpreted to say that there should not be government endorsement or funding of a religion.
A subsidy.
Or a subsidy, and if you're giving the churches a freebie from the state in the form of, you know, subsidized or practically free housing, how is that not an endorsement of religion?
Exactly.
I think this is just proof that their particular God is too poor to pay for their expenses to build their own church. Now, I was intrigued by the fact that you went to, the Good News Club is sponsored or run by a national organization called Child Evangelism Fellowship.
Yes.
And after the break, I want you to talk about how you went to the national, whatever they call it, the national...
National convention, yeah.
Yeah, and you went as a delegate, as a undercover.
Yeah, I went as a mom, and I registered directly with the convention center. I used my real name. I didn't have to lie.
Well, we'll be right back. We are talking with Catherine Stewart, who has a new book. What's it called, Dan?
The Good News Club, The Christian Right's Stealth Assault on America's Children.
I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor.
I'm Dan Barker. Stay tuned. After the break, we'll continue our dialogue with Catherine Stewart.
Protect the First Amendment. It protects you. This is Free Thought Radio.
I'm Dan Barker.
I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor.
And we're continuing our conversation with Catherine Stewart, whose brand new book just came out about the separation of church and state, especially in the public schools. It's called The Good News Club, The Christian Right's Stealth Assault on America's Children.
And I just want to read the chapters, and this is a very in-depth book. There's so much that we don't have time to talk about. The Good News Club comes to town, all part of the plan, a wall of separation. Catherine writes about the originalists and then the new theories, Scalia, for example, Little Red Church House. She talks about don't know much about history, the Texas textbook wars, Bible literacy wars, packaging proselytizing as education, the peer-to-peer evangelism loophole, enlisting in the Army, how to join the Good News Club, and if you can't own it, break it. The plan to undermine public education. So it's quite an expose. And welcome back to Free Thought Radio, Catherine Stewart.
Nice to be here.
So you went to Talladega, Alabama.
Yes, I did. I went to a national convention of the Child Evangelism Fellowship. And one of the things that struck me as I listened to their keynote speakers is how extremist they are. One of the keynote speakers was Dr. Charles Ware. I think he's at Crossroads Bible College. And he was selling a book in the lobby that talks about how the homosexual agenda is spreading its tentacles throughout every aspect of American society. I mean, it was really hate speech. He was sort of talking about how interfaith marriage should be rightfully called interracial marriage and should be condemned by everyone. And his book had an advertisement for the Creation Museum on the back cover, and he's obviously an avid creationist. So when these groups come to, and I heard similar kinds of you know, talks by other keynote speakers, for instance, Matt Staver, who is a founder of Liberty Council, well, one of the legal advocacy groups that gives the Child Evangelism Fellowship a lot of its legal cover. He was also going on and on about the homosexual agenda and has actually written a book about how, you know, it's something like, you know, homosexual agenda putting every household at risk or something like that. It's really this obsessive focus on, same-sex activity. And when you hear people like that as the keynote speakers of the national, the Child Evangelism Fellowship, you realize that when this little quote-unquote Bible study group comes to your public school and gets in there, you're actually, you know, introducing a very controversial form of activity, because they represent points of view that many people would consider to be hate speech and hateful.
Now, you and kicking the doors of the public schools is kind of their mantra.
A lot of them said that.
He said something like, "Knock down all," you know, Matt Staver, you know, his rallying cry, you know, "Knock down all doors, all barriers to all 65,000 public schools in America, and take the gospel to this open mission field now, not later. Now." I mean, that's verbatim. They call public schools mission fields, and they say, you know, "Knock down the doors, break down the doors to the mission field, and we will do the harvest work." For them, harvest work means converting other people's children to their form of the Christian faith.
You know, that's what we say in our letters, that these Good News clubs considered the schools to be their mission fields, but I didn't realize they were so overt about it themselves.
They are so overt. I mean, the funny thing is this group is, it's like they're hiding in plain sight.
Uh-huh.
They have no respect for public education. They just, you know, knock down the doors of the public schools. They're not worried that they might, break down something else on their way in. And actually, if you look at the leaders of the religious right, they're actually so intent on, you know, bringing their form of Christianity to public schools, and at the same time defunding those same schools by siphoning money from the public schools and funneling it to religious schools in the form of school charters. They're the ones who are supporting the charter
and the vouchers
movement. It's amazing. You even look at like an organization like the Discovery Institute, which is a pro-creationist organization up in Seattle. They too have a sort of pro-voucher aspect, a sort of pro-voucher side to their organization. You think, well, what does an organization that promotes creationism care about school vouchers? It's because they want to take money away from public education. They want to weaken public education. And when you heard Rick Santorum just a couple days ago talk about how he thinks public schools are anachronistic, well, this is what he's talking about. Members of the far religious right, you know, there are people who are on the right and they are religious, but they're not members of the far right, this kind of group that sees public schools as mission fields. They want to destroy public education.
Now, let's talk about some of those groups. And let's talk about, during the break, we were talking about Jay Sekulow with Pat Robertson's ACLJ, and all the harm that he's created.
Yes. Well, if there's one takeaway message I want, you know, people to understand, it's that it's the legal advocacy groups of the religious right that are really driving this agenda. The Alliance Defense Fund, Liberty Council, the ACLJ, groups like the
Rutherford Institute, Beckett Fund.
The Beckett Fund, a lot of these groups, they have combined budgets of $100 million or more per year, and they've set their sights on public schools.
They sure have. And Laughing All the Way to the Bank, by the way, if you look at the Sekulow family fortune.
You write in the book that these little clubs are not some local family-originated benign Bible clubs where people can voluntarily come together. These people tell the children in the club to go out and actively recruit. Actively, they give them more candy and more goodies if they'll bring more of their non-believing friends into the club. Doesn't that kind of belie the whole reason behind the logic of the Milford Good News Club decisions?
Well, it's interesting. There's a huge, enormous, you know, huge effort now being spent on something called peer evangelism efforts. It's okay if the kids do it. It's a way adults use children to do mm-hmm. what they themselves are not allowed to do. So, you know, adults aren't allowed to walk into the school and walk up to some random child and say, if you don't go to believe in Jesus, you're going to go to hell. But children are allowed to do it. At every child evangelism fellowship training I attended, the children were instructed to tell their friends that there is only one way to get to heaven. And these initiatives are not just being promoted in Good News Clubs. There's huge resources being devoted to promote peer evangelism on middle school and high school campuses as well.
Well, we know it goes on a lot in high school because of all the Bible clubs, and we take a lot of complaints about harassment and bullying.
Yeah, and there's even efforts now to establish full-fledged ministries on public high school
and
campuses.
Yeah, we're chasing out these ministers who wander through lunchrooms preying on kids. It's just
right, and
audacious.
A lot of them are trying to establish full-fledged ministries, but tapping the children to be the pastors. So that no one can, you know. Oh, look, children are, it's well established that children are allowed to talk about their faith at school or pray in school. And I believe that if it's not disruptive, you know, to the school day and it's, you know, within the appropriate context, it should be legal.
But this is totally different. And we have run out of time. I'm so sorry. We're talking with Catherine Stewart, author of The Good News Club, The Christian Right, Stealth Assault on America's Children. How can people, you have a website?
I do. It's www.thegoodnewsclub.com, and that's my personal website.
And you can get this book everywhere. And thank you so much for this very important investigative journalism.
Thank you so much. Pleasure to be here.
And thank you, Dave. This week is Dave's 11th birthday. Did you know that? He's a leap year baby. He's born on February the 29th.
Happy birthday, Dave.
Dave is our engineer and our producer, and Buzz Kemper is our announcer. Go to ffrf.org/radio to hear the archives and sign up for the podcast.
Ask for more information at ffrf.org, or better yet, join us. And you can also phone for information, 1-800-335-4021. We will have our March issue of our newspaper coming out. And join us in our work. Tune in next week for more Rational Radio and Blasphemous Broadcasting.
Free Thought Radio is a production of the Freedom From Religion Foundation, FFRF.org. Irreverent views, news, music, and interviews brought to you by Annie Laurie Gaylor and Dan Barker.
I hope someday